Hello, my friends, and welcome to True Religion Radio. I am your host, Paul Drockton, and today I want to talk about the Son of God. And of course, if you go to Isaiah, you can read about King Uzziah, who was the king of Israel, facing war with both the northern kingdom of Israel, right, with its government at Samaria, and also with Syria. And basically, Isaiah went to King Uzziah and he said, both of these nations are going to be overthrown. He was referring, of course, to the Assyrians who came down and basically destroyed Israel and also Syria. And he said to King Uzziah, ask for a sign, anything. And Uzziah says, well, I'm not going to tempt the Lord on my God. Uzziah had no respect whatsoever for God, but whatever. Isaiah said, well, the Lord's going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this is one of the most important critical points of true Christianity. God with us. Jesus Christ was God with us. Now, understand that when he was in the temple, the first time at the age of 12, answering questions with the scholars, posing questions to him, right? And they marveled at his knowledge and intelligence. His mother Mary and Joseph came to him saying, we were looking for you. And he told them, why didn't you come to my father's house? Now, I'm telling you, that was a revolutionary statement. If you go through the Old Testament, calling God the Father, was blasphemy because it made you equal to God. And basically the Jews, he was only 12 years old, they literally had their jaws dropped. And I'm sure they all thought, where's mom and dad going to do about this one? And obviously they did nothing because they knew he was telling the truth. But that was a common theme throughout the New Testament. Jesus Christ basically told the Jews he was the Son of God. And this was in his hometown of Nazareth, and they wanted to stone him for saying that he was the Son of God. And in other places, he also stated the same thing. And they again were ready to stone him, and he said, the scriptures state that, ye are all gods. Why do you want to stone me, right? And basically, this again has been a point of controversy. So when when Judah was destroyed by the Romans about 66 AD, prior to that, the Jewish Christians were warned by the scriptures. Jesus Christ prophesied. He said, look, as soon as you see armies surround Jerusalem, get out. And those that listened fled to Antioch in Syria. And those individuals that were Jewish Christians, they really, really had a hard time with the Trinity. And so they argued that Jesus Christ was not God. It couldn't be God because that would mean there were two gods. And of course, they also argued that the Holy Spirit was not God, couldn't be God because that would mean there would be three gods. So they were what we would refer to as hard monotheists. And of course, the scriptures contradict that completely. On the other extreme, we have the city of Alexandria in Egypt, which again, extremely influential in the world and of Christianity, who adopted the doctrines of the Greek philosophers, namely Aristotle, Polonius, who was a Neoplatonist, and believed that Jesus Christ was not God, but he was highly favored and basically given great power, but they didn't believe that he had the same power as God the Father. And so this really has been a controversy from the beginning, and ideally, they just don't understand the scriptures, because you stand up for what's right. And unfortunately, when things got political, they tried to appease all sides, which is why if you read the Nicene Creed, you'll see that it's really a shout out to both the hard monotheists from the Jewish Christian perspective and also from those that had embraced the Greek philosophy version of the Son of God, which basically argued that he emanated from the Father. This was Polonius. This was Neoplatonism, also, you could say, Aristotle's perspective. So basically, one group believed in the philosophical standpoint that he emanated from the Father but wasn't equal to him. The other one was that he was a gifted, blessed man, but again, not equal to God, which contradicts what the Savior told the Jews over and over and over again. When he was with the Jews, they said unto him, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham?" And he responded and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am." Basically, he was testifying to him that he was the God of the Old Testament. Now, what about the only begotten of the Father is another question, right? The only begotten of the Father. So if he was begotten by the Father, how could he be equal to the Father? Well, you need to understand that in the beginning, according to John, was the Word. What's Word? We'll say it translates into logos in Greek, which translates into, in the beginning was the mind, or the mind of God, right? So in the beginning, Jesus Christ was pure intelligence. And basically, just like us, we were also pure intelligence, light and truth. Jesus Christ literally was brought into the world of spirits by God the Father, and therefore begotten of the Father in the Spirit, right? Clothed with a spiritual body, clothed with spiritual matter. And of course, in the flesh, right, through the power of God the Father, he became the only begotten of the Father in the flesh as well. Now, if he was begotten of the Father, how could he then become equal with God the Father is the question. And this is what theologians have really argued over the centuries. And the truth of the matter is, he had the mind of the Father when he was an intelligence. He had a perfection of knowledge and understanding. And therefore, he had the same intelligence as the Father when the Father was an intelligence. This is an eternal process. And when he was brought forth in the Spirit and became material, right? He was in the exact image of the Father, which means if you had seen the Father, you would also note that the Son was in the express image of the Father. Looked the same. And so, when Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to the Father in the intercessory prayer, "Bless these," meaning the disciples, "that they might be one, even as we are one." So basically, he was asking that the disciples, his disciples, would be one, even as God the Father and the Son were one. Now, those that would argue against this doctrine, which is true, I would ask you a few questions. One is, when Jesus Christ was baptized, why did everyone hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? Jesus Christ was a ventriloquist? Did he go ahead and that he basically sent his voice up to the clouds and it came back and said this? No, of course not. That was the voice of God the Father. And of course, the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove as another witness. In addition to that, when Jesus Christ taught his followers to pray, he taught them that they too were the children of God. Our Father, not my Father, not the Father of Jesus Christ, our Father who art in heaven. How could he be our Father? He's the Father of our spirits, says Paul. He is literally the Father of our spirits. So therefore, we call him Father, right? Which means we too were light and truth in the beginning, and we were brought forth into the world of spirits. So the scriptures don't contradict each other. If you read through it, it's very clear. Now, the next question is this. Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples as a resurrected being with a body of flesh and bone. This is in Luke, I think it's chapter 24, don't quote me on that, where he appears to the disciples and he says, "Place your hands, right, in the wounds in my hands and in my feet, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have." He was a resurrected being of perfected flesh and bone. Now, obviously, if Jesus Christ had a physical body, then we have to deduce that if he truly is equal with the Father also had to have a physical body, a flesh and bone, which means he also had to go through the same experience on a previous creation that Jesus went through. and bring salvation to the previous creation. Therefore, God the Father and God the Son are one. They've gone through the same experience. They basically have the same mind, the same intelligence. It really isn't hard, my friends. This is Paul Drockton. God bless. Have a great day.